be thrown by Rohe. Just jump straight in and think about fasting yourself. If there was anyone there who had really good answers, I'm very happy to hand over the mic. So good to be here with you this morning. If you don't know me, my name's Dan. One of the things that's been interesting about my journey over the last little while is this year has been a really different year for me. I've had an extended time off, which has just wrapped up in the last 4 weeks. And in that time, it's a great time to refresh yourself, to be restored in your relationship with God, and to watch a whole bunch of Netflix. And one of those shows that I watched was called Quarterback. Has anybody watched Quarterback? Just a couple there who are even tentative to put up their hands. It just shows how much time I've had on my plate that I had time to watch Quarterback. Quarterback follows the 2022 season of three NFL quarterbacks. And what is amazing for me in that is it's a weird sport, isn't it, gridiron? Because there's so much that is all around this single player being the quarterback. But what is also amazing about it, and this series shows it, is what these individual players put in to hone their skills to play that position. Because they don't just have the main coach or the team of coaches. They have their own coach for the quarterback. They have their own personal trainer. Often they have their own kind of video game analysis. They have their own, they have psychologists. They have chiropractors. One of the guys on the show had this thing that he wore on his head while he watched videos to make sure he could focus. One of them even had a personal chef. All of this was so that they could focus on the single goal of winning NFL games, to reach the Super Bowl, all for every part of their lives, not just main training, but every part of their lives, anything that they could ever focus on, all for that goal. Check out these verses from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 9. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. One thing I'd love you to think about as we come through this idea of fasting is, do I have that attitude to my Christian walk? Am I playing this like a quarterback, honing every part of my life to the goal of my relationship with Jesus? In that perspective, for me, I kind of have to say, no, I don't. I might have some things. I might put away my 5-10 minutes in the morning for a quiet time. I may come to church on a Sunday. I may give, although, Ro, that was awesome, mate. Can you send those words to me? Like, hearing disciplines like that just challenges you, doesn't it? Am I honing every part of who I am for the prize of eternity and life with Jesus? And fasting was one of those glaring areas, and is a glaring area in my life, to be thinking about honing for Jesus. Let's have a look at Matthew 6, and this is our verse for today. Matthew 6, 16 to 18. It says, when you fast, enough said, right, in terms of a challenge. This is where I want to spend most of the time this morning, is in this when you fast. Because I don't know how those conversations went, but I'm sure many of them said, oh, actually, it's not part of one of the key disciplines I have. It's not one of the main parts of my journey. For many of you, it might be, but for others, you might be like me. I was put on the preaching roster to preach on this a while ago, and I went, well, that's a bit of a joke, isn't it? It's been something I've been interested in for a long time, but it's not something that had been a core part of who I was. So thankfully, that request was put a long time ago so I could explore this some more. And quite frankly, it has been a stunning rebuke for me, thinking about how am I giving every part of my life to God, and particularly going, why am I ignoring some things that I'm seeing in Scripture? Because fasting, it actually has a deep history in Scripture. It's mentioned up to 77 times in the Bible. Well, that's nice and holy, isn't it? Moses fasted before he received the Ten Commandments. God tells the Israelites to fast on the Day of Atonement. The Israelites fasted before a miraculous victory in 2 Chronicles. Daniel fasted to receive guidance from the Lord. Nehemiah fasted before starting a major project. Jesus fasted in the wilderness at the start of his ministry. Jesus comes here in Matthew 6 and says, when you fast. Jesus again in Matthew 9, when questioned why his disciples aren't fasting, says that while Jesus is here, they won't. But when I'm gone, then they will fast. And they do. In Acts 13, just before appointing Paul and Barnabas to ministry, they fast. Then they send Paul and Barnabas out. They go to the churches. Paul and Barnabas fast before appointing elders in the church. Fasting then comes into the early church, and many in the church have a regular rhythm of fasting twice a week on Wednesdays as a sign of when Jesus was betrayed and Fridays of when Jesus was crucified. This has a deep history, not just right in the Old Testament, as some of us might think, but right throughout Scripture and into the church and to now, but somehow we've lost it. We've got to think about why. But before we do, let's just kind of think about what fasting is. In the book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, Dallas Willard includes fasting in a category of disciplines that he calls the disciplines of abstinence. He says, in the disciplines of abstinence, we abstain to some degree and for some time from the satisfaction of what we generally regard as normal and legitimate desires. So it is putting things off that may not be inherently bad in themselves, but putting them off because they can distract us from Jesus and helping us to refocus. Many of us here as a church did forms of abstinence as a part of Lent, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to do. Fasting, as Dallas Willard put it, is like a subset of those disciplines of abstinence, namely around abstaining from food and sometimes drink. This is really what I want to focus today on, because I believe Scripture has a bit to say, particularly about that food element and about our bodies and what that means as a discipline. A quick note before we get too much into it as well. I note that this could be sensitive for some. Maybe fasting and abstaining from food and drink is dangerous to you physically. Maybe you've had a bad experience in terms of your relationship with food and drink. In saying these things, this is not to you have to do this discipline, but rather to say this is what God can use it for. And if you're one of those people, know that God can work through you around some of these disciplines and what you can learn from it, and maybe what you can apply to other areas of abstinence as well. So, why have we lost this discipline of fasting? One resource that we'll pull up later is something called Practicing the Way. It's a series of Bible studies and other resources from John Mark Comer and others that help us understand principles like fasting and Sabbath and prayer. In it, he talks about how a lot often the modern church, we focus on parts of us being about the mind, you know, in devouring Scripture and hearing sermons, or we might focus on the Spirit in being really prayerful or seeing fruits of the Spirit. They are great things, but sometimes they are coming to us forgetting about the body. Mind, body, and spirit all function together, and sometimes the modern church is focused on just some components of that. He goes on to say that we may have lost this discipline of fasting for many reasons, such as cultural hedonism, the widespread availability of food, the advertising, which is false, telling us that we need to eat 3 round meals a day, the confusion of appetite with hunger, as opposed to seeing them as distinct things, or the struggle with eating disorders and body shaming. But I want you to note that when it comes to Scripture, there is such a clear link between how our bodies work and how our life with God works. They are not separated, but rather how we use our body is a part of our worship. There's a book called The God's Chosen Fast, and it reflects on Genesis 3. It says this, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her and ate. Genesis 3:6. It says, so it was, amongst other things, a temptation to eat. that encompass the ruin of the human race. Another quote here from Cornelius Platinga Jr. How good is that as a name, by the way? You want to say it with me? Cornelius Platinga Jr. Say it to someone next to you. He says this, self-indulgence is the enemy of gratitude. And self-discipline usually its friend and generator. That is why gluttony is a deadly sin. The early desert fathers believed that a person's appetites are linked. Full stomachs and jaded palates take the edge from our hunger for thirst and righteousness. They spoil the appetite for God. Really eloquently put, but it just shows that link between our stomachs or our bodies and sinfulness, doesn't it? But then we can flip that as well and see how our bodies and our stomachs can be used as parts of worship when we go back to those verses from the beginning of today. 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Our discipline to the eternal prize of relationship with God. Our body is a part of our training. So fasting is a spiritual discipline where God uses our bodies to bring us into his truths and purposes. Now, I want to jump into some of the reasons we may want to fast, and I want to tell you that there are so many reasons and so many ways that the people of God have used fasting to connect with God throughout Scripture. So I just want to highlight three of them to you today, and they're three that just blew my mind in the lead up today because they're so inextricably linked with what we talked about in the Lord's Prayer and in the Beatitudes as well. Pulling out how all of this Sermon on the Mount is packaging together. So reasons why to fast. Firstly, to repent of sin. In 1 Samuel 7 and in Nehemiah 9, Israel fasted to repent of their sin. In Ezra 8, Ezra says, I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God. Bring this into some of the language that we see on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who mourn over sin, for they will be comforted. And in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. So we fast as a physical manifestation of our repentance. It was one that I've even experienced recently for myself in coming to fast as a way to repent of sin and for some reason felt this desire to go out and do some gardening. And as I'm out, I'm weeding the path and going, this is what it's like, isn't it? That my life is full of these weeds and God gives me the opportunity to come before him and pick each one of those weeds out of my life. See, this is part of what it means to be able to come before God in fasting. It kind of recognizes in your body what your spiritual position is, including in repentance. Two, we fast to seek God's direction. In Daniel 9, Daniel turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. In response, God sent the angel Gabriel to give insight and understanding. Then we come into the New Testament. The first Christians prayed to seek God's hand over their decision-making. In Acts 13, they prayed and then appointed Paul and Barnabas into ministry. And then Paul and Barnabas in turn go and do the same when they're appointing elders into the local churches. Doesn't this beautifully just echo that prayer of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven? Seeking God into what you're doing through fasting. Now also with this, I don't know if you know, but it's a prerequisite that when you preach now you have to quote a South African. It's one of Renia's new requirements. And so this is from Pastor Andrew Murray. I want you to really pay attention to this one. He says, prayer is the one hand with which we grasp the invisible. Fasting is the other hand, the one in which we let go of the visible. Let me say that again. Prayer is the one hand in which we grasp the invisible. Fasting is the other hand in which we let go of the visible. Isn't that a beautiful showing of how the spirit and the body work together, how those practices of prayer and fasting work together to bring you to God? We fast to seek direction from God. And then lastly, we fast to to be with God. In the book God's Chosen Fast, it says, food is an ever-present temptation to which we constantly yield. Food is a basic instinct and it's a necessity, but it can also continually be a distraction away from Jesus. Matthew 4, you know, this is the famous one when it comes to fasting and also our relationship with food, says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After 40 days of fasting, 40 days and 40 nights, I'm not recommending this right now, by the way, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then bring in further context later in John 6, 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus continually throughout the gospel makes this comparison, doesn't he, between a worldly hunger and a hunger for God. You know, in our Beatitudes, when we were setting the kingdom culture earlier this year, we saw in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And how much more power does it also bring into that prayer from the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread. Fasting enables us to put off the distraction of worldly food in our preference to the hunger of the bread of life, Jesus. A lot of the places that I've been reading about this, it says this so eloquently, and I think this is really what I come to see fasting as, is we fast so we can feast on Jesus. This is us just wanting to be with God, but I really think that can summarize every reason why we would fast. We fast to feast on Jesus. I want that. I want to feast on Jesus. I hope you do too, that you see how much God loves you. You see how powerful God is, how much he cares for you, how much he wants to be with you. Don't you just want to feast on that? Fasting enables us to free ourselves in our body to do just that. My challenge for us is to just explore this practice some more. I'll show you some resources later of how you can further explore it and just try it. Spend some time with God. Cast things off, including food, in order to be with God. But I just want to think about how we approach it too. So we'll just go to the next slide. Because from my reading, I've come to think about fasting, like other spiritual disciplines, a little bit like a window. So I think there's four ways you can approach a window. One is you can completely ignore it and walk by. Another, you can go to the window and you can use it like a mirror, trying to look back at yourself and see how good you look. Third, you can go to the window and you're actually just looking at the window itself. You're looking at the mechanisms, the way that it opens, how the hinges work, what the paintwork is like. Or the last one, the fourth one, is that you can use the window to gaze upon the beauty that is on the other side, opening up the window to let the fresh air come into your world. So let's just dig into each of those for a little bit. Firstly, walking straight past it, this was where I was at with fasting. Sure, I had tried it a couple of times before, but until the last few months, I needed God to open my eyes to it. And hopefully there's elements of today that has helped you, if that's you as well, to see the beauty of fasting too. So secondly, to look at your own reflection. This is the heart of the Pharisee, isn't it? Creating religion and rule to show yourself as being good because you can do it. If we go back into our verses, it says this, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. They've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Fasting is not so you look good. Fasting is so God looks good, so you can gaze upon the beauty of our Lord. I want to note around this, though, this is not just saying that fasting needs to be a hidden thing that is just a personal experience with God. In fact, a lot of times in Scripture, including through the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, but also the couple of examples of fasting in the New Testament in Acts, is actually done corporately. So it's not about just doing it alone, but it's about who it is for and where it is pointing. It's about pointing to God. The third way to look at a window is looking at the window itself. The window is not the goal. Fasting is not the goal. The goal is your relationship with God. Isaiah 58:6 says this, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loosen the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke." In Isaiah 58, the Israelites are rebuked for missing the fullness of what God had called them to do. They're focused on the disciplines. They're focused on the prayer. They're focused on the fasting, thinking that they are the relationship itself. But they're neglecting the heart. They're neglecting love. They're neglecting God. They were focusing on the acts as if they were the relationship themselves. And I think we have a similar, but slightly different risk for ourselves now, in that fasting is actually becoming quite popular, right? It's becoming popular as a health trend. The 5-2 diet, intermittent fasting, seeing that there's health benefits and benefits for your body in doing fasting itself. And in some ways you go, isn't that outrageously good that the things that God has pointed to us that have been good for our spirit are good for other parts of life too? Hey, maybe this guy's the creator. But also there is a warning in that fasting for those purposes is not fasting for God. So it's about where you're pointing, where your heart is in any of these spiritual disciplines. Fasting for the purpose of feasting on God. And the last one, looking through the other side. Here is the goal. It's about seeking God. We want to fast as one of the many spiritual disciplines to gaze upon God. We come to the window so that we can look through it. We come to the window to open it and invite God to come into our lives. Seeking this discipline of fasting is a way of training our body for the prize of relationship with God. God is glorious. Relationship with God is true life. We should seek it with every fiber of our being, with every part of who we are, whether it is thinking about how we speak, how we praise, what we do on a Sunday, what we read, how we use our finances, but also how we use our body. And fasting is the thing that invites us into how we're using our body in relationship with God. So before we get to the end of it, I just want to go into some more practical stuff. How do we actually do this? I know there's a lot to take in this morning, so I'll try and just be light on this and then give you some resources. So firstly note this. You're not going to go in Scripture and find a particular chapter that says, and this is how you fast, this is how long, this is how much water you can and cannot have, and no, don't have coffee or whatever. It's not something that is prescribed in Scripture. So rather what I'm going to do is just put to you a couple of things that might be practical help. Firstly, start small. You don't need to look at your what would Jesus do wristband and go, well, he did 40 days, I'm going to do 40 days. Just like try a meal. Try skipping a meal and focusing that time on God. Just think about, what am I going to eat? Am I going to have water or am I not? Am I going to have coffee or am I not? Like, to give you the personal example, I haven't been game enough to try it without coffee yet. And that's okay. Clear distractions. You know, this time is intended to be time between you and God. So try and keep it that way. Factor in other things that are going to help steer you to Jesus as well. Can you spend some time alone? Can you spend some time in prayer? Can you get into Scripture? Throw some worship music on. This is time to feast on Jesus. And lastly, stick at it. A It may not be something where you do it for the first time and go, oh, that was outrageously good. I'm going to jump on and do it twice a week from every week from now on. It might be something you need to build up to. But know that it is scriptural. Know it is from the heart of God. Know that Jesus did it. And so it is worth sticking out and having a go. You see on the screen there that we've got some resources for you as well. Many of these resources has helped me in my journey so far, which is still at the beginning stages really. But we want to help you in your following of Jesus. So here are some resources. Firstly, we have weekly Bible studies. If you haven't checked this out, please do. Larry has been doing some great work in putting some studies together that follow what we're doing here on a Sunday to take you deeper. Look at it yourself, look at it with a group. Jump on our website and have a look at that. Practicing the way resources of what I refer to a few things here from John Mark Comer and others. There's resources that can give you a 4-week study on fasting, and they're also available through church. Recommended reading, there's a couple of books there. There's Fasting by Lynn Barb, and there's also God's Chosen Fast, are two of the books that I've read in the lead up to today and are worth checking out. And note, church, that there are so many great resources out there to dig deeper on things. And you kind of look right here in front of the center, I see Darren, and we've got the resource of Cornerstone Books just on our doorstep to come and check out. So if it's fasting or if it's another discipline, can I wait? Let's go deep to understand God. Let's not make the mistakes that I have of missing this whole element of a discipline. And lastly, the podcast, if you feel game to listen to me again, or to the other sermon that may be more inspiring for you from Jeff. But check out the resources because they're a great way to connect further and to just dig further to explore yourself. Now, just let me close for you by looking at one more verse from Hebrews 12, 1-2, because I feel like this captures the heart of what we're trying to do with our spiritual disciplines, with fasting and the heart that is behind it. Let me read this as a prayer over us this morning. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, and look around us, we have a crowd of witnesses. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Lord God, we pray that this would be our heart, that our lives would be seeking in, with every fiber of our being to draw closer to you. Lord, help us not to forget any particular part of us, Lord, but to look at mind, body, and spirit. Look at the spiritual disciplines that you have given us. Look at the opportunities you have given us to serve you and use every one of them for your glory. Lord, help us not to ignore it. Help us not to use them to look at ourselves. Help us not to be distracted by the disciplines themselves, but more, Lord, to help us to be guided towards you, to seeing your beauty and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. That was unreal. So we don't walk past that window.